Hey, this is Jim Larrabee. I'm the lead pastor here at First Christian Church, and this is our podcast. My prayer is that the words you hear encourage you, that they challenge you, that they build your faith and draw you closer to Jesus. So, enjoy.
Man, so glad to see you guys here today. My name is Josh. I'm one of the pastors here. I'm usually hanging out with the youth and young adults, which Tom is one of the young adults. And so said, hey, let's do this video this week. Good to see you. You can get his autograph now before Hollywood gets him, and it gets way more valuable. But I'm excited to be with you today. Thanks for being here. And if you're joining in person or online, it's just a great day to be gathered. I'm excited to open God's word. If you have your Bibles, Matthew chapter 7. If not, don't worry, we have a big digital Bible up on the screen. You can grab one on the back on your way out for free. That's our gift to you. And I'm excited also because after the message, we're doing two baptisms today right here, which is a beautiful thing. Pastor Jim's going to be dunking Holly. There. She's right here, and Holly is, as the story goes, Holly is on her way to Kenya in just a couple weeks with that mission team, but then also, just after a period of kind of walking away from Jesus, has decided, I'm all in, I want to go public with this, I want to dive in, and has made a decision a while ago to get back with Jesus, and now she's going all in, going around the world as well, so excited for that. And Jaime, who's over here, this guy as well is just excited to get his life back on track. God's been working in his heart and his mind and his life, and so we get to celebrate that here today. If you didn't plan on getting baptized today and you want to, someone's going to give me an issue about this, but that's okay. Come on over here, and we'll get you baptized after the service. Yeah. Whatever, you know, if you want to go home wet, we can make that happen for you. So, a beautiful thing, Matthew chapter 7, and as we get started, I want to let you know that I know two things about you that maybe you didn't even know about yourself. And some of you are thinking, I don't even know you, that's creepy. Which it is. But here's what I know, is that you came here today for one of two reasons. Those are the things that I know. You came for one of two reasons. And the first group came because this is the only way that you get to watch football all day. If you came to church, you get to watch football, go Seahawks, right? I mean, this is what we have to do to kind of pay our dues. Maybe your mom or your wife or your grandma or your husband was like, hey, this is how we're watching football. And you're like, oh, I just got to get through this hour. Or you're a little bit more like me, and you came today, and you come on a consistent basis, or whether it's your first time, you're here today because in some way, shape, form, or fashion, you believe that your participation here today has something to offer you to help make your life better, to make it look more like Jesus. Because what I know is that no one showed up here today thinking, you know what? I want to go to church because I want to be more fearful. I want to be more insecure. I want to be stressed out. I want to hate life. I want to be worried. Right? No one walked in here today thinking that. Right? I mean, if you did, I'm sorry. This is not the place for that. But we walked in today because to some degree, we believe that what is taught here, what is in this book, has something that is of value. And we want to know how to take this thing that is of value and to live life better. We believe that we'll be more equipped to handle what life has to throw at us as a result of our time here today or any other Sunday. Whether you're at this church, another church, watching online, that's true of most people here. And let's face it, in the face of our times, with Russia's doing with what Russia's doing and the economy doing what the economy's doing, and the mental health epidemic doing what the mental health epidemic is doing, and just personal life. I mean, you fill in the blank. There are a million and one reasons why we are looking for hope that is greater than this world. We are looking for health in relationship. We are looking for a calm in the storm. And it's a safe bet, therefore, to imagine that all of us want a life that can better weather the storms, because we know this world has got a lot of storms right now. Is crazy out there. And you know what? It's not just you, and it's not just us here today. For thousands of years, people have looked at the world, people have looked at life, and they've wondered the same thing. So you, in that question, in that quest to find out what it looks like to live life better, you join billions of people who have come before. And Jesus knows this, and so what he does is he speaks to it. He teaches on it. Matthew chapter 7 is a chunk of text from what we call the Sermon on the Mount. It was a sermon that Jesus gave to the 12 disciples, but he let the rest of the crowd jump in. It would be as if, in if you're trying to picture what it looks like here, it would be as if Jim was talking to his staff, but you all were allowed to be in the meeting. So Jesus is teaching these truths in the Sermon on the Mount, and he's doing so at this chunk of time in the what we call a parable. And a parable is a way to highlight a spiritual truth by using an analogy. So I want to just read it, Matthew chapter 7, starting at verse 24. It says this: "Anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it is wise, like a person who builds a house on solid rock. Though the rain comes in torrents and the flood waters rise and the winds beat against that house, it won't collapse because it is built on bedrock. But anyone who hears my teaching and doesn't obey it is foolish, like a person who builds a house on sand. When the rains and floods come and the winds beat against that house, it will collapse with a mighty crash." Now, my church people, you have heard this before. How many, by a show of hands, whether it's in a song or in a sermon or just the idea of it, you have heard the idea of building your house on a rock? There we go. Okay, if you did not raise your hand, welcome. I'm glad to have you guys here. And that's okay, because the ground is level right here. It's not that we have no more, have heard more. It's just, this is a very common scripture that is referenced in the church. It's taught on, we sing about it in songs. It's a very common thing. So I heard this story growing up in church, and this parable is a story I've known for a long time and illustrates a truth. It's an analogy. So for the sake of you church people who just raised your hand, I want to quiz you. Since it is an analogy, what does the house represent? Life. Someone got it, nailed it over there. 10 Jesus points. Okay. What is the rock? All right, there we go. More of you got that. Good job. In essence, what this parable is saying is that if we want to stand firm in the face of storms, which is anything this world can throw at us, build a life on the rock. Build a life on Christ. If we want our life to collapse when the pressure is on, build it on anything else. Sand is culture, our opinions, our big ideas, right? You don't have to look further than Oceania or Guadalupe to see that if you go out there 1 week, the sand dudes look completely different than the next week. Sand is always shifting and changing and blowing around, and it's not worthwhile to build anything on that. But yet that is what it's like when we try to build a life on culture or our thoughts or our opinions. Anything else other than the Word of God is sinking sand. And I grew up believing this. And for me, what I know is that I want to weather storms like we all do. Like, no one came here today to be like, I want to know how to get beat up by the next storm in life. No, I want to weather storms. Because this world is full of rains and floods and hail and wind and issues and problems. So what does it actually look like to build a house on the rock, to build a life on Jesus? And so what I want to do in the rest of our time is peel back the layers to this parable, because the good news is, as we do, the answer is something that before you even leave this building today, before I even leave this building today, you and I can do something with. Whether you've been a Christian your whole life or you're just coming to church for the very first time, there is a truth here that everyone can take something away from and do something with before you leave. It's very practical and tangible. Not easy, but very practical. So in this parable, let's look at it again. We have some wise and foolish builders. And we see the wise builders building their house on bedrock, which is solid, unwavering. And the foolish builders building their house on sand, which is shifting and shaking and changing as often as the wind does. And so the core of this text is actually about wisdom versus folly. Wisdom versus foolishness. So what does it mean to build a life wisely? And what does it mean to build a life foolishly? Now, throughout scripture, there are 100 different ways that wisdom and folly is contrasted. You have to look no further than Proverbs or Ecclesiastes or a lot of the wisdom literature, even the Psalms, to see that the Bible really contrasts wisdom and foolishness. There's 100 different ways that they're contrasted, but in this parable, Jesus is highlighting that the difference between wisdom and foolishness boils down to one idea, and one idea alone. Let's look back at it. It says, anyone who listens and follows my teaching is wise. Verse 24. And anyone who hears my teaching but does not obey, verse 26, is foolish. What's interesting here is that for both the wise and the foolish, listening is happening. Both the wise and the foolish are listening to what Jesus had to say. They both hear the word of God. They both hear about Jesus. They both know who Jesus is and the kind of life change that he can make happen. So listening is not the thing that's in question here. But if we want a life of wisdom, a life that can weather storms, what does it come down to? The key difference is follow through. Obedience, listening to what God says and doing it. It is about what hearing Jesus was calling us to and following through. So Jesus, in essence, is saying to his disciples and the whole crowd gathered, everybody's gonna hear. The whole world at one point will hear the truth of Jesus, but only some will follow through. So the question we're asking today is not, will you build a house, not will you build a life? The question is, what kind of house are you building? What kind of house am I building? And what we build will be a product of the choices we make along the way. Today we're talking about houses, and because I'm the student ministry guy, I've got free rein to share some about this with you. Some of you remember when I came to you months ago and said, hey, will you help support our mission trip to Mexico? We're going down to build a couple houses in TJ. If you got your car washed or gave or prayed for us, thank you. We built two houses alongside families who needed them, and not only did we give a lot, we also learned so much more in return. So there's gonna be some pictures up on the screen behind you to help you follow along. And we go every year in June, and we'd love for you to come with us next year if you're interested. We need people to be able to do this. And what's incredible though is when we start this work, it's a dirt lot. Like we roll up and it looks like the overflow parking lot out there, except worse and not level. And within 6 days, a group of 8 high schoolers builds a house with no experience. Some, little experience, but it's a house that's built to the cultural standard of that part of town with no experience and no, like, just like show up with a hammer, like, all right, let's do this. Right, we do some training and things like that, but when we finish, there's stories of life change and we look back and it's amazing. There's pictures, there's videos, we're changed, there's memories, it's amazing, and we love getting to look back at this experience. It's an amazing thing, we look forward to the next one, but do you know how we got to this place where the houses were completed? Literally, because we don't do power tools, because that's asking for a disaster with a bunch of high schoolers. Sorry, high schoolers. Just is. They show with a hammer and some nails and a work belt. And one by one, tink, 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 tink. It's insane. There's thousands and thousands, one nail at a time, over and over and over and over and over and over again until it's done. And there are thousands of nails on this house, and each one, to be honest, seems pretty insignificant. In fact, when the heat of the day is beating down on us and you're bending nails and you just want to throw the nail or your whole hammer or your whole team away, right? You're just like frustrated, and it's really difficult work from time to time, and other times it's awesome, and other times it's just downright boring. Like nail, 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 nail. But once we've done one nail, the job is to move on to the next nail, and the next nail, and the next right nail, all the way until we've got a few thousand in this house, and it's done. And these seemingly arbitrary, insignificant pieces of metal that are about yay big work together and create this house that can stand the test of time. And for those of you who see where I'm going with this, building on the rock, building a life on Jesus is much like that. We have hundreds of day-to-day decisions that seem arbitrary. In fact, some estimates done in psychology estimate that we have over 30,000 conscious and unconscious decisions each and every day. And some are more consequential than others, but when it comes to our finances and friendships and marriages and relationships and work and kids and how we spend our time and our talent and our treasure, in every decision, we have an opportunity to do one of two things. It's either to trust what God says in his word and do it, or hear what God says in his word and not do it. So in finances, man, spending within our means and not worshiping money and all the other things the Bible says about finances, those are boring decisions to make. If you like to save, that's awesome, but I think saving's boring. And so spending within our means and not worshiping money and saving, doing all these things, that's boring. But it's wise. And the God's word talks about it. In friendships, being a blessing more than you're being blessed. Not being afraid to confront a brother or a sister with hard truth when they need it. Doing so in love. That's what God's word asks us to do. In marriage, putting our spouse's needs before our own. Caring more about what they need in this moment than what I do. That's a hard thing to do, but that's in God's word. In work, working hard, working for God's glory, doing everything for his glory, but yet finding a healthy balance where we're boundaried and have time off and rest. These are all things that God's word talks about, and I'm not saying that they're easy. This has a point. Sometimes doing these things are awesome. When we save money over time and we're wise and we invest and all of a sudden we can pay off this debt or go on this awesome trip and travel, it's epic, it's awesome. It's so easy to like just keep doing what God asks us to do because it's easy. It's awesome, it quickly pays off, and other times it's really boring. It's nothing earth-shattering. It's nothing overly spiritual or emotional. Building a habit of daily time with the Lord. Listen, I'm 100% behind this, but a lot of mornings is nothing out of the ordinary. Saving and investing money, getting accountability software on your device that you know is an issue when it comes to pornography addictions and things like that. The list can go on and on and on. And a lot of times these aren't just awesome or boring, but they're downright difficult. Loving our enemies, especially praying for those who persecute us. Forgiveness for those who have not asked for it and do not deserve it. Trusting God's word more than we trust our own thoughts or feelings. Resisting temptation. But one decision at a time, day after day, over time, creates something beautiful. Where am I going with this? Well, I promise this has a point, and I promise this doesn't seem quite so hopeless as it might right now, because that seems like a tall list of complete surrender and obedience to Jesus. That's a big deal. It's a lot of nails on that house. A lot of decisions to make. So what we do oftentimes is we want that, so we show up to church. And I think we are here because we want to have a house that is built on Christ. We want to have a house that is built on the rock. So we go to church, we serve, we're in a small group. And I don't think that us showing up here or jumping in on a live stream is necessarily the hard part, because we're all here. Maybe it was difficult for you to get here. I know my wife trying to get my two-year-old here. It's like all kinds of crazy every single morning. If you have more than one kid, like Hunger Games, like may the odds be ever in your favor, trying to get more than one kid here, right? But we do it because we believe, even if it's not easy, we believe that there's something here for us. We don't wrestle necessarily in getting here other than the children. But I think we wrestle more in those day-to-day decisions that happen outside of Sunday morning. Because they are downright difficult, and sometimes we don't like it, and obedience to the word of God is absolutely, I think, the hardest thing. But let me tell you what can happen in so many Christian homes. It happened in my home, it does happen in my home, and I'm gonna tell you this way. When I was in college, I had a bunch of friends who were like, let's go to the gym. And for those who know me, that's a giant joke, right? Because I do not work out. You can see my arms look like SpongeBob's, and it's not the way it goes, okay? I don't like working out at all, and so I choose not to. But I thought it would be fun to do something with my friends. I want to be part of something bigger. And so I got the gym membership. That was a mistake. And then I got the gym clothes, and then I got the gym bag, and then I got the little shaker for your pre-workout and your protein powder. And then I got all the downloads for how do you know, and the apps for how to bulk up and to work out and do all these things. And I was excited, and I was fired up. And then I showed up to the gym. I was like, yeah, man, all right, I'll be in the pool. I got a pool here, or I'll be in the sauna. And my friends would be like, aren't you gonna come work out? I'd be like, no. I like being around you guys, and I like being around the culture of this, but I don't wanna work out. And so within about 3 months, I canceled the gym membership, and it was what it was. And some of you are like, I sign up January 1st, and I quit March 1st every year. Hey, no judgment, that's me, okay? So But that's what it was like. It was like I wanted to do all the things and be around the culture, but I didn't actually do the most important thing, was actually work out. Where I'm getting at is all too often, and I'm speaking to myself and maybe a select group in here, but I think it's worth saying, and I say this because I want to say this from a place of, this is totally my wrestle as well. But I also, from that perspective, I want to say this in love, but also unapologetically in the truth, is that some of us are immersed in Christian culture. We like the people, we like the culture, the gathering, the music of church. We know all the worship songs. We're in a small group. We come to church with our coffee and our journal and our Bible and our pen, and we're ready to go. And that happens for an hour on Sunday. And then the rest of the week, you look at our lives and we look no different than the rest of the world. Because we miss the most important thing. The Bible talks specifically about Sunday morning gatherings and do not forsake the assembling of believers and doing this together. This is a very important piece of our walk with Jesus. But for some of us, and in the Christian culture especially, what happens is we make it about Sunday morning and not about obedience the rest of the week. It's less glamorous, it's less fun, it's more difficult. When Jordan isn't up here, like with his hair slicked back and his shirt on and like singing these awesome worship songs, right? Like, you know, it's different to worship in your car than you are when you have the whole team and the system and all this stuff here. And so living this out throughout the week, being obedient to the word of God, man, some of us have found ourselves being Sunday Christians and pagans throughout the rest of the week. We look like the building of a house on the rock, but we peel back the curtain and there's a house on sand. And if that's convicting, that's the Holy Spirit. And the reason I say it with such confidence is because I totally get the wrestle. Because obedience to the word of God is hard. But what else in our life do we do for 1 hour in a given week, which is 168 hours? What else do we do for 1 hour, which is 1.68% of the whole week, and think that there's gonna be growth and fruit there? Who watches and invests in their toddler for 1.6 hours a week and expects them to learn how to grow up to be a functioning adult? Who goes to work 1.68 hours a week and expects to have a job? Who invests in their marriage 1.68 hours a week and expects there to be health? Right? We don't take this idea and apply it to anywhere else in life, but for some reason, we take this idea of spiritual growth and think, if we want to grow in Christ, I got to go to church, I got to bring my Bible and get my coffee and go to worship and listen to the message and then go about my week. And friends, it's just not the way it works. Jesus says to build a house on the rock is about listening and then obeying the whole rest of the week. And some of us are like, wait, but that's why I'm here today. I'm after this. And I would say, absolutely, that's amazing, beautiful thing. And remember, though, when Jesus preached the message of the Sermon on the Mount, he preached to his disciples and a large crowd that listened in. So there were people who were following Jesus around and listening to his teaching. These were disciples who were in his small group. They were people who were serving and giving and investing like many of us here. And yet, even in the midst of that, Jesus still leans in and calls us to obedience. Aren't they already being obedient? Aren't they already following? Isn't Jesus calling obedience to a crowd who is already following? Well, that's for God to decide. But true wisdom, true building our life on a rock, is so much more than just an hour on Sunday. It's actually made up of the moment by moment, hour by hour, day by day, week by week, decisions to do things God's way instead of our own. Like each seemingly arbitrary nail on the houses that we build in Mexico, each decision day to day does not feel like much. It's not glamorous, can be boring, and can be downright difficult. But yet over time, you see the fruits as we invest in our relationship with Jesus, as we continue to lean into obedience. What I'm not saying is that we have to do this perfectly. There's more coming I want to share as we land the plane here in a minute. I'm not saying we do this perfectly, because no one can. In fact, this obedience and greater reliance on God and choosing his way over ours is the journey of every Christian. It's a lifelong journey. It's something we can start today and make a commitment to doing today, but it's not something you're gonna master today or next week or next month or this side of eternity. But yeah, it's a day-to-day struggle and battle to do things God's way or our way. And I think we get discouraged because we've experienced the presence of God during worship. We come here and it's an amazing vibe. We're at a retreat or a camp and we feel the weight of conviction during a sermon and those powerful moments that can happen in this space. And because they're powerful, we equate them with spiritual growth. If I feel the presence of God, I must be growing. But friends, while I'm telling you that that is absolutely a piece of growing in Jesus, the deeper work is so much less glamorous. Growing in Jesus, going deeper, yes, happens at church in a sermon during worship, but growing in Christ, building a house on the rock is so much more about the daily decisions of trusting his way over ours, day in and day out, over the long haul, one nail at a time. So why are we here on Sunday morning? Because Sundays, we can learn from his word the principles that give us a place to start from. It's a place to know people and to be known in community. It's a gathering of people who want to run the race with endurance, building up each other, encouraging each other, calling out each other, linking arms to say, well, let's do this together. Sunday morning is meant to be the springboard for a week of obedience to Jesus, not the culmination of our faith experience. And other times we're discouraged because it can just seem overwhelming. Honestly, when we show up to those houses, and there's a dirt pit, and I think I've got 8 high school students to build this whole house in 6 days. That is overwhelming, but what I've learned to focus on over time is not the whole house, but just the next right nail. What's the next right nail that's gotta go in? Let's just do that, and then do that, and then do that. And I think for me, when I look at who I am right now versus who God calls me to be, I look and I think, that's a long way to go. To be obedient in that way, I got a long way to go. And some of you are like, yeah, you do, because you know me and you know my life. It's overwhelming. But how do you build a house in Mexico? Well, you build it one nail at a time. How do you eat an elephant one bite at a time? How do you run a marathon one step at a time? How do you build a life on the rock? The Bible says that his word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Now, these lamps and lights don't show us the whole trail because the destination is just too far away. But what they do is they light up immediately around us so we can see enough to take a next right step. So we can just see enough to take a next right step. And we keep taking next right steps, knowing our destination, not knowing how we're going to get there, but we know our destination. And in youth, we say it this way. We take it from a pastor called Andy Stanley. He teaches in Georgia. He's a phenomenal teacher. We say it this way, that we all have a next right step. A place to lean in, a step of obedience on the path that Jesus has called us to walk. And instead of worrying about the whole trail, I'm just gonna focus on what that next right step is before I leave this building, today, tomorrow, the next day. Just taking a step and a step. God, where he called me to obedience now, all right, that's gonna be hard, I'm gonna do it. Where he called me to obedience now, that's gonna be boring, but I'm gonna try it. Where he called me to obedience now, I'm gonna take a next right step. That was awesome. But then I backslid a couple, oh man, I kind of screwed this up, and I'll go backwards now. And I'm moving forward, and I'm moving forward, and it's a 3-step forward, 2-step backward kind of journey. But we trust that Jesus will get us where we're supposed to be. What I want to challenge us to us is this, is that for those who are coming back next week, and the week after, because you're pursuing Jesus and you want to learn how to follow him and you think that there's something here for you to better follow him. My challenge to you is to come and listen. And then every week from here on out, I want us to leave Sunday morning, Tuesday night Bible study, Wednesday night youth group, Monday night young adults, whatever else is going on, and ask, what is my next right step? God, what is my next right step? What do I have to do with what I just heard? Where are you calling me to obedience? What action step this week will add one more nail to the house that I'm trying to build on the rock? And friends, that kind of obedience to Jesus requires great trust. Great trust. All throughout Scripture, before we are ever called to obedience in Jesus, we are first called to trust him. I preached it backwards today. So I was trying to make a different point. But the truth is the truth, that Jesus first calls us to trust him before any obedience is ever required. And if we're gonna build our whole life on something, it should probably be something trustworthy. And so how do we know that Jesus is trustworthy? How are we certain that he is trustworthy? How do we know that if God calls us to forgive the person that does not deserve forgiveness, but to do it anyway, despite what we think or how we feel, but to trust his way over ours, how do we know that that will in the long run be the best thing for us and another nail in our house that is built on the rock? How do we know? Some of you have seen my 2-year-old running around here like a feral cat on Sunday mornings. That's just who he is. Thank you for helping me corral him and bring him back. But I love that guy. And if there was a point, I pray it never happens, but if it does, that he and you are standing together in the middle of the road at a Mack truck is barreling down, and I can push one of you out of the way, you can bet your bottom dollar I'm gonna push him out of the way. Sorry. But if that Mack truck's barreling down, there's no other way around it, and I look at the two of you, and I look in the eyes of my 2-year-old, and I look in yours, and instead of saving him, I save you. You would probably walk away from that experience and think, Josh really loves me because he gave his son and let his son die. And in his son's place, I lived. And so therefore, from there on out, if I was trying to have a relationship with you, you wouldn't owe me anything. But at the same time, if I was like, hey, bro, just trust me, you'd say, yeah, okay. Maybe you probably would. Not that I'd have it all figured out, but at the end of the day, like if I'm gonna not spare my own son for you, then I'm probably, like if I ask you to do something in the future, it's probably worthwhile. Because I've proved how much I love you. Well, friends, that is how our God interacts with us. He sees our need, and it is you, and it is his son. And the Mack truck of sin is barreling down. And he's got to either push Jesus out of the way or push you. And what he does is says, Jesus, go to the cross. Take the punishment. Take what they deserve. Do what only you can do, Jesus, and save their lives. So I'm going to push you into the way of traffic, Jesus. I'm going to save them out for all those who believe. Friends, this is how we know that when God asks us to trust him in obedience and to do things in face of culture, despite what we think or how we feel or where our head is at, this is how we know that Jesus is trustworthy, that God is trustworthy, because Jesus did not spare even his own life for you and for me. And if he wouldn't give up that, if he would give up that, what wouldn't he do? If you don't know this truth, if you don't know this love, if you don't know this grace and forgiveness, I implore you, go back to the prayer room and talk to someone about it. If this is something that is just finally clicking today for you, and you're thinking, I want to respond to that, I want to be a part of that, and hey, you want to get baptized, we can do it this service or next service, whatever, we'll figure it out. Respond in faith, saying, I want to live my life in obedience to him. Friends, on the way out, there's going to be a box of nails. They look like this, a basket of nails. I'm asking you to take one. And every time you put it in a place, put it in your pocket, put it in a purse, put it on your desk, put it in a place where you're gonna see it often. And every time you do, I want you to remember two things. First, that these nails that went through Jesus' hands and feet on the cross are a reminder of how trustworthy he is and how he would stop at nothing for you and for me. And then in response, if we want to build a life of faith, what God's asking us to do is those everyday, arbitrary, boring decisions to follow him, to put another nail in the house by saying, yes, Jesus, your way, not mine. Take them, put them in a pocket, put them anywhere. If you sit down weird, it might stab you, but hopefully it stabs you in a time when you really needed to hear the message, right? Of oh yeah, whoops. I'm not saying it's easy. This is the hardest thing, and it's a lifelong journey of every Christian in the room. But what would your life and my life be if there was no storm that could break it? If there was no temptation that can break, if there was no issue this world can throw, because our hope is secure and our life is firm, because it's built on the rock of Jesus Christ. It starts in the day-to-day. May we do that for his glory. Let me pray. Father, thank you for this time. I thank you for being who you are and that we can trust you. I pray anything that I said that is not of you, that we would forget. My words are terrible. My words mean nothing. My words get us nowhere. But God, anything that you want us to hear and remember and hang on to, that next right step of obedience that we have been just ignoring because we don't want to do it because it's hard and uncomfortable and it's going to require great trust and it's going to require great sacrifice, God, I pray that you would give us the strength and the courage by your Spirit to do it today, to not wait. Trusting and knowing that your way is best, even if it's the most difficult way, even if it's boring, even if it's hard. May this Sunday give us the energy and the passion and the fire in our spirit so that we can make these decisions this week and then next week come back and do it all over again, day after day, until we see you face to face. And may our world and our lives be better because of it. We pray these things in your name. Amen.
Hey, thanks for joining us. If you enjoyed today's podcast, don't forget to subscribe and share it with a friend. A special thanks to those of you who give generously to this ministry. It's because of you that this ministry is possible. If you'd like to find out more information about giving or to see what's going on in the life of our church, please visit us at fccsantamaria.org. Thanks again for listening, and God bless.